Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the 20th chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 20. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. I want to read Genesis 20, and I want you to answer the question in your mind, who is the believer in the story? Okay? Think about this. Who is the believer in the story? And today's message is entitled, Abraham Does It Again. Okay? This is Genesis 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Verse 7, now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. Some kind of prophet, huh? He is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all of his servants, and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me in every place wherever we go. Say of me, he is my brother. Verse 14, then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. Verse 17, so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Well, think about who is the believer in that story. Abraham does it again. We kind of see a man in covenant with God, which is Abraham, and then a man who's not in covenant with God. God says to Abimelech, you're a dead man. You've done things wrong, and if you don't get right, you're going to be a dead man. Well, as we look at this, there are some little handles in the story that I want you to write down if you're taking notes. Here's the first thing. He lies again. Abraham lies again. Abraham does it again. And in verses 1 and 2, it tells us that he says Sarah is his sister. Now, one thing, church, and I say this a lot, but it is so, I've realized, I was telling Kelly this, I've realized in studying in the book of Genesis, one of the big themes that I'm getting out of this is that God is so patient with his children. I mean, here God has made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham is our hero of faith. By faith, he believed in the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was in covenant with God, and yet he continues to doubt and continues to make mistakes. But here's what I love about God's Word, and always remember this. And some of our young people need to think about this, because you think that the Bible just candy coats everything. The Bible does not candy coat it. We studied some things at Christmas time that there's some passages I couldn't read. Okay? I mean, it is, the Bible deals with life. When you think about how the Bible tells the truth about all people, you know, Noah came off the ark, got drunk, and exposed himself in Genesis 9. Moses lost his temper in Numbers 20. David committed adultery and plotted the death of a valiant soldier in 2 Samuel 11. We studied that. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Barnabas, who's one of my heroes, the son of encouragement, Barnabas was an encourager. Even Barnabas lapsed into false doctrine in Galatians chapter 2, and the Bible said he was carried away into false doctrine. So why did he do it again? Why did Abraham do it again? Note that Sarah took part this time. In verse 5, Abimelech says, look, did he not say to me, she is my sister? And then, and she, even she herself said, he is my brother. Now, when Abraham did this before down in Egypt to the Pharaoh, it doesn't say that Sarah owned up to it and agreed with it as well. It just said that Abraham did. But in this case, Sarah even took part in it. One commentator says that he may have not truly repented the first time. He had an old nature, and church family, we must guard our lives. Sometimes we say we confess our sin, but we really have not forsaken our sin and turned from it. When David committed his sin against Bathsheba, and then when he had Bathsheba's husband killed, you remember Psalm 51, a great picture of true repentance. He says, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Then he cried out to God. He said, oh God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The psalmist David says in Psalm 51, there is a repentance that is truly transformational. And if we just halfway say, well, I'm upset because I just got caught. You hear me? Amen. You won't get deliverance from that sin. And so we don't know why he did it again. He's going to tell us some reasons, but they're basically the same reasons that he repented of before when he talked to the Pharaoh. But church family, here's a lesson for us all. Remember this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. In other words, there's nothing new under the sun. Temptation's temptation for all people, for all believers. Shake your head. All right, you know that. Temptation, there's no temptation that has taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. We just sang about the faithfulness of God. He's running after us. The goodness of God is coming after us. All my life he has been faithful, and that is what Abraham can say. That's what you can say. But sometimes we do it again, don't we? We fail. The Bible says there's no temptation is taken to you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Don't ever give the excuse that you can't, through the power of Jesus, overcome that sin. You can, because there's no temptation. Now, you need a community of believers around you to help you. You need prayer support. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord has given you the strength to do it. We don't understand totally why he did it, but he did it again, all right? Now, one thing that's a small little nuance there, I want you to notice in verse 1, and Abraham journeyed from there to the south. Why did he move? Well, every indication is that this move was not a good thing. Now, we don't know that God could have, the text does not tell us for sure that him moving was a bad thing, but it just says he did move. Maybe he saw, after Sodom and Gomorrah, he saw the plain charred, and he said, I've got bad memories here, I want to get out of here. The first time he lied, he went all the way down to Egypt. This time he just went into Philistine territory, okay? He was just on the edge. They say that this place is just on the edge of where he was and where the Philistines were. So he was just a little bit inside, about 10 miles inside that space, okay? But I just want you to notice that he moved. I don't know totally why he moved, but I don't think his movement was a great thing. And the Bible says in Matthew 26, watch and pray lest you enter in temptation. So you think about when you're going to make a move or you're going to do something that is changing where you are, changing the community you're around, changing the people that are encouraging you. Don't just flippantly make a move. You better know that it is what the Lord wants you to do. So the first thing is that he lies again. Here's the second little handle real quickly. God's powerful promise prevails. God's promise was that Abraham and Sarah were going to have a child. Well, guess what? If Sarah was in the harem of Abimelech, then it could be that the child she would bear would be his and not Abraham's. And yet, in verses 3 through 7, God came to Abimelech in a dream. He says, indeed, you're a dead man because of the woman. She is a man's wife, verse 3. It says in verse 4 that Abimelech had not come near her. He would have wanted to, but somehow in God's sovereign power, he withheld Sarah from knowing Abimelech, all right? In verse 6, it says, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. God said that, so God was working behind the scenes. He said, therefore, I did not let you touch her in verse 6. He says to him in verse 7, now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. Well, in God's sovereignty, he protected his promise. Can I tell you this, church family? How many times, we don't even know how many times, Abraham didn't realize that God had, until this was recorded, he didn't know that God had supernaturally, sovereignly protected Sarah in that harem when Abimelech took her in. He didn't realize that. And I wonder how many times in our Christian life, behind the scenes, God is working things to protect us. Isn't that encouraging to know that? That God is behind the scenes doing things to protect his promise. Well, he did. It says, for he is a prophet. Now, it's wrong when someone representing the Lord is acting in a way to displease the Lord, and yet this is exactly what Abraham was doing. In verse 7 it says, God was talking to Abimelech. He says, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. I don't think Abimelech, in meeting Abraham, would have said, boy, this man's a prophet right here. He probably would have said, we see what he told him. He said, why did you do this to me? He said, what was your motivation for doing this? And yet, the Bible says he was a prophet. Remember, Abraham was in covenant with God. Abimelech was not. And in verse 3, to Abimelech, he was being confronted by God Almighty. He says, you are a dead man. If you do not return her to him, in verse 7, then you shall die. And you and all of yours shall die, in verse 7. Now, sometimes the lost world will read chapter 20 and say, oh, isn't that something? Here's your God's man, and he's a hypocrite. Hey, listen, one thing I've learned about the Lord Jesus Christ If you don't like hypocrites, you and Jesus agree about that. Jesus Christ called out the hypocrites, the religious crowd that were hypocrites. But just because there are hypocritical doctors that do malpractice doesn't mean you don't need a doctor. Just because there's a Christian in the world that is not living right, like Abraham was at this time, don't say, oh yeah, there's a hypocrite, I'm off the hook. No, because what did God say to Abimelech? He said, you better return her, you're going to die. He was confronted with his own sin and his own lostness in that way. Now, God called Abraham out for lying, and God called Abimelech a dead man. Some want to cry out and say, oh, look at the hypocrites. Well, listen, if you're going to take this literal and say, you know, and it is literal, we're going to take it that way, that God is calling out Abraham, who's supposed to be in covenant with him, and he's hypocritical. Well, you also have to take literal the fact that Abimelech, who's not in covenant with God, God was saying, you are a dead man. Let me say this to you, lost one, if you do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, if you're waiting around for every believer to live perfect before you give your life to Christ, you're going to be lost your whole life. What you have to do is come face to face with the truth of Christ upon your life. I remember when I got saved, I was in a room with hundreds of young people, and the pastor was preaching. I felt like I was the only one in the room. And I felt like God was saying to me, Calvin, I was a teenage boy, I was looking for answers, and I'd heard the gospel, and I felt like God was saying to me, Calvin, this is your opportunity. You decide, are you going to follow me for the rest of your life and give your life to me? It didn't matter at that moment, all those people were there. And I would say this to you. Yes, you're going to meet some hypocrites. It's not good. But don't let that be the excuse that you don't come face to face with the real thing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, okay? So, we see that he lies again. We see that his powerful promise prevails. Number three, Abraham is rebuked. Can you imagine? In verses 8 through 10, he's rebuked by the lost guy. He says to him, it says in verse 8 that the men were very much afraid. He had that dream, that vision. He got up the next morning, he told everybody, and they were all shaken. You're telling me God is going to kill us because of what we've done? And so, and after he comes to face with that reality of facing God, and then he goes in verse 9 and he confronts Abraham. Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Abraham lost his testimony. He was supposed to be God's man, and he lied. And they caught him in that lie. You know, does God want you and I to live a separated, holy life, loving Jesus, so that we can earn our way into heaven? No. He tells us in his word why he wants us to live a life committed to him. In Psalm 23, he says that he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. You are a testimony. You are a testimony. Listen, I used to hear a guy say all the time, he'd say, everyone is a witness for Christ. Everyone is a witness. You're either a good witness or a bad witness. Kelly used to pray all the time, Lord, let us be a credit to your kingdom. That is a witness for Christ. So we see that he lost his testimony. He lost his ministry. You remember in Genesis 12 when he was called, and it said, "In through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." He was not being a blessing to Abimelech. Abraham wasn't. He lied, and these people didn't understand why he had acted that way. He was not a source of blessing. He was a source of judgment. So we see that he lied again. Number two, we see God's powerful promise prevails. God's sovereignty behind the scenes protected Sarah. Number three, we see Abraham being rebuked by Abimelech. Here's the fourth thing. Abraham gives excuses. He says in verses 11 and 13, he says, I was scared that God was not in this place. And basically he was saying he couldn't trust God. God had been so faithful. Folks, listen. Can you believe this, Abraham? God had been so faithful to Abraham, and now he's acting like God can't do it. Can you believe him? God has been faithful to you. Let me make it more personal. God has been faithful to me. And often I resort to my own way and don't trust him. Abraham says, man, I was scared that there was no fear of God in this community. And because of that, I had to lie about it. So he gives that. Then he resorted to half-truth. You know, it's very distasteful to a lost world when there's dishonesty among believers. Very distasteful. And Abraham says, well, she really is my sister. We have the same father, but a different mother. Well, she was his wife. And he lied. That was the second thing he did. And then he was a coward. He was fearful of man. He was scared that if he took his stand and said, she is my wife, that God wasn't able to protect him and guide him. And he was fearful of man. This is the same fear that caused Peter to deny the Lord. You remember the night of the Lord's arrest when the little girl came out and Peter was warming by the fire and she said, hey, I've seen you with him. He said, you have not. Lie, number one. She says, back later, she says, no, aren't you one of his followers? I am not. And then later, the third time, she comes back and he, with cursing, says, I don't know the man. That same kind of fear is what was going on in Abraham. So Abraham gives excuses. Here's the fifth thing. Abimelech follows through. He actually does what God says for him to do. He restored Sarah, his wife. And in a little bit of a jab at her, he says in verse 16, look at it, in chapter 20, verse 16, he says, then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother. You did tell me he was your brother, Sarah, right? So just a little jab there. He says, I've given him 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all that are with you, before everybody. And so he follows through. He restores her to him. And then the last thing, Abraham prays. Dr. John Phillips, he's with the Lord now, but he's a great English commentator. He wondered about that prayer. He said, I wonder if this was Abraham's prayer. Lord, I have brought disgrace upon my testimony again. My evil heart of unbelief is as pagan as when you first met me in far off Ur. Dear Lord, have mercy on Abimelech and all his house. I have failed to show him what you are really like. That's what Dr. John Phillips suggests, that maybe when Abraham finally prayed for him in verses 17 and 18, he might have prayed something like that. Well, one of the saddest consequences of Abraham repeating this, we'll just look over two pages. We'll get there eventually as we're going through here. But go over to Genesis 26, verse 7. Genesis 26, verse 7. We'll look at verse 6. We'll start with verse 6. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Remember Abraham, who's his son, Isaac. Verse 7, and the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. You know, one of the saddest consequences of Abraham's sin was Isaac's repetition of it years later. Mom and Dad, what we do impacts not only those in our sphere of influence, but the ones that most likely look to us, our own children. So what are our takeaways today? If you're saved, learn from this and truly repent of the sin that is in your life, and then grant grace to others. God continues to woo Abraham back to him. So why is it that sometimes I get on my high horse and want to judge somebody for their sin? God can be the judge. Let God be the judge. So if you're a believer, you learn from this. Truly repent. Okay? And then grant others grace. If you're lost, as bad as it is for those believers that are hypocrites, judgment is still coming. Don't forget that, Abimelech. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as bad as it is that this man Abraham did it again, don't forget, if you do not know Christ, you still will face the judgment. That's something to learn from it. And then the third thing is our testimony affects others, including our children. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.